Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin the program by taking a look at what's new in prescription eyewear. Jim LaLuzerne back with us. Jim retired from a 45-year career during which he was the CEO of five different optical-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, and an all-around nice guy, as a matter of fact, as well. So it's great to have him back with us. And certainly, if you have questions about eyewear, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there if you wear glasses or how often do you check maybe to see if you need different prescription. Who do you trust to take care of your eyeglass needs? Those are all questions we can deal with. And I hope you'll join in. Jim, great to have you back.
Hello, Larry. It's great to be back.
I tell you what, it's always fun. And it's nice to have you in person, but it's also great to have you on by phone. If someone's looking at needing prescription eyeglasses maybe for the first time, what should they be keeping in mind?
Well, first time. That's an interesting question, Larry. I think that, first of all, if they're getting them for the first time, they should plan on seeing a whole lot better. I'm always reminded of a friend of mine who said this very seriously. He was ended up in a very high position within an optical company, and he never got glasses until he was in his mid-teens. And when he said he first put them on, he never realized that trees had leaves. And it's kind of sad in a sense. Yeah. That a lot of people, you know, assume that what they see is all the better that they can see. And a lot of times, you know, when you're in school and you take a look at an eye chart and they check you out, that there's a lot of people that pass that or barely pass it and they think they're okay and they have a lot of other problems. So, you know, I guess the first part of my answer would be get your eyes checked soon, early, and often, and not just for prescription eyeglasses, but when the doctor checks your eyes, he also checks for eye health. And there's a lot of things that they can tell about you and your long-term vision by doing that. When you get the first pair of glasses, of course, they're going to feel, you know, not used to that, and so you're going to have getting used to the pair of glasses on your face. The other part I think that I would tell people is that if they get them for the first time, don't accept, you know, blindly what, pun not intended, don't accept blindly what you get when you get them. If you're still not 100% happy, go back to the doctor, talk to them, because especially first-time wearers, you know, they don't really know what to expect, and maybe they could do better. So if you're not real happy when you get your first pair, go back and continue to go back until you are happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good advice. Well, Judy in Grand Marsh has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Judy.
Hi. He stole my quote about seeing leaves for the first time.
Sorry.
I was 10 years old, and this time I'm 67, and for the first time my new prescription, I say, hey, it's still blurry. So is there, I did go back, I was rechecked, and it was as good as he said he could do, and is there a time with age that you will no longer have your vision corrected? I guess mine winds up being 20/25, I think I remember him saying. Do I have to be satisfied with this? And
well,
is there a computer that can read better than when they asked me which lens is better? I have a hard time determining. Is there a computer that can do that for me?
Well, there is a computer, but it's probably not better than what you do. Let me just give you a two-part answer. First part is a question, actually. Did he say was there any underlying cause? For example, do you have a cataract developing or anything like that?
No, everything that he tested was good. Everything he did not see anything.
Because I actually have a cataract developing in my left eye, and I went in because I thought, I'm still a little fuzzy here in the left eye, and it turns out I have a cataract.
And that's very common, and I have you know, beginnings of it. And most people, I'm in my mid-60s, and I have the beginnings of it. And I know that I need more light to see well. I'm still able to be corrected to 20/20, but I like more light. I find that to be an issue that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a cataract developing, we all, you know, our vision deteriorates as we age, and it's somewhat to be expected that you maybe don't quite see when you're 60 that you did when you're 50 or when you're 40. I mean, there is some of that. But if you've changed that much and there's no underlying medical reason, I would pursue it with your doctor and your dispenser to make sure that they hit it on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question about is there a computer to do that? The answer is yes, there is. It's called an objective refractor. And basically what it does is it shoots a beam of light into your eye and measures the distance back to the retina. And from that, it determines your prescription. That is usually not as acceptable as a subjective refraction, which is this better or is this better?
Mm-hmm.
Because your visual system is a compounded based on not only the mechanics of your eye, but how you perceive things and whatever. So the subjective refraction is what you get, generally more acceptable to the patient than an objective refraction. And some doctors do both. Maybe before you went in to see the doctor, you got some tests that people did, and sometimes they'll have their staff do an objective refraction, and it takes a second.
Wow.
And they use those numbers, and then they compare those numbers to what they're getting in a subjective manner.
Sure.
And
kind of use it as a starting point or something.
Exactly, Larry. So, you know, if my answer to you would be, if you aren't completely happy, go back and ask the doctor again, see if he can help it out. And if you're not getting a satisfactory answer from that doctor, then go to somebody else and ask them the same question. And if between the two of them they can't do any better, maybe there is some underlying visual problem that they're not detecting.
Yep, there you go. Good luck, Judy. Thank you very much for calling. Marilee in Barnes, Wisconsin. We're going to you now. Hi, Marilee.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's really nice up here this morning. It's just as bright as can be. And you know, when you live in Barnes, you kind of live in the hind end of the world.
Well, you know, I have a cabin up in the Barnes, township of Barnes.
I know that, but if you had to live here the year round, believe me. But I have worn glasses since I was 4 and I'm 75. And I go to Dr. Danner in Ashland, and that's another thing. When you live in Barnes, if you go to a dentist, a doctor, eye doctor, whatever, you travel miles, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two little convenience stores in this town.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have noticed that as you get older, of course, your eyes get worse. What the hell? Everything else gets worse. Why shouldn't your eyes? But this last time that I had my eyes tested, and Danner is an absolutely marvelous eye doctor, but the gal that did the testing before I saw her kept saying, blink. And I would blink, and I could see better. And then finally I said, don't you get sick of saying blink that much during the day? And she said, you actually see better every time you blink. Well, I had never known that. So I got a much better prescription. But anyway, what I really want to know is, why does it cost so much for frames when you know very well that they're probably from China, and they make them for 79 cents probably. And there's 185, 165. Mm-hmm. My cheapest frames I could find this time were $70 in the value aisle.
Yeah.
Well, let me quickly, before I talk about the frames, let me talk about the blinking. What happens when you blink is you bring fresh tear across the surface of your eye. And the cornea of your eye, you're looking through it. Especially if you stare for any length of time, it will start to dry out and actually cloud up a little bit. And when you blink, you bring fresh tear, you make a cleaner surface. And that's why you're able to see better. And especially when you age, the quality of your tears reduces. And what happens then is that the surface tension is reduced and it dries out quicker. So blinking is a good thing. Regarding the price of frames, I think you are on the right track. You did go to the bargain counter for doing that. Part of the cost of the frame, though, is not just what the doctor paid for it, but you go into a typical office and they have hundreds, if not thousands, of frames to choose from. They have to pay for that inventory. A lot of it goes to waste because somebody doesn't fit it or it wears out or whatever. So they have to recover that cost. They also have to have the expertise in fitting it, and a lot of those costs are built into the frame. So it's not just like a product that you'd go buy off the shelf and check out with it. There has to be a large selection. They have to be different sizes and colors, different styles, and the doctor has to pay for a large inventory, a lot of waste, and they stand behind it. So if you come back a year later and you have to get it adjusted or fixed or whatever, they have to build that into the price. So it's not just the product itself. There's a lot of things that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this last time for me, I actually kept the same frames. I had changed my lens, but I kept the same frames, and so that was probably saved me a little money there.
Yeah, it's a good strategy if the frame is still in good shape, and if you do buy a better frame, many times they do last a lot longer.
Yeah. Thanks, Marilee, for calling. Appreciate your call. Diane in Milwaukee, we're on to you now. Hi, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you for having this program.
Sure.
I'm in my 70s, and I've had two cataract operations, and I've had two surgeries for macular holes, so my vision is poor. But my hardest part is reading the paper, and I have to use a magnifying glass, and I've purchased reading glasses at the drugstore, but they only go up to number 3. And I'm wondering, do they go stronger? Can you get stronger ones if you go to an optical dispenser?
The answer to your question is yes. If you go to a dispenser, they can make what they call prescription reading glasses, and they can make them virtually any prescription that you could make.
Oh, that's wonderful, because I can't do my crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
Now, you'll find that you'll have to move your face closer. Let's say you got a 4. You said you got a 3. It's diopters. You got a 3 diopter lens. Let's say you got a 4. It would make it larger, but you'd have to bring what you're doing another inch or two closer to your face.
Well, that would be okay. And if would they have a 5?
Oh, sure, they could make a 5, and they would do that. But then you got another inch or two. You know, pretty soon they're going to have your face very close to what you're doing. But if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, because I can live with not driving, but it's hard to do stuff. You can't read the back of the vegetable packet or the prescription.
Do you know if you have any astigmatism in your prescription?
Probably.
Because if you get a pair of prescription reading glasses, they can also put the astigmatism prescription in the lens. And depending on how much you've got, that could be a really big deal. And you will not get that in over-the-counter reading glasses.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing that is
so I go to my doctor first for a prescription for reading glasses?
Well, if you have a prescription in general, you could go to your dispenser and they could make up a pair of reading glasses based on that.
Oh, they could.
Sure, but the doctor, I don't know who you're going to, but if you're getting your glasses at the same place that you go for the doctor, that would be the place to start.
Okay, no, they don't dispense glasses there because they're, you know, surgeons and
Okay, well, then go to a dispensary, tell them what you're looking for, and they're going to tell you that your nose might bump into the newspaper, but you tell them that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. As long as I could read the newspaper again, that would be great.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Diane, I've just mentioned as an aside, and you may not everybody can afford an iPad, but I'm telling you, those are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things because you can make the type as big as you want on the iPad, and there are others other than iPad too that are similar. You can just make the letters as big as you want on these tablets, and you can get your newspaper on the tablet. So,
Larry, that's an excellent point. And one other thing is many of those tablets have a very bright light source in them,
yes,
which also was very helpful for people. So combination of larger type and a bright light source, excellent point.
Yeah. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, optics specialist, as we talk with him about prescription eyewear. Larry Mueller here, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in here on the Ideas Net as we talk prescription eyewear with Jim LaLuzerne. Email from Jim in Hudson, as a matter of fact. I'm a prospective first-time eyeglass wearer, 58 years old, and have been told by my optometrist that I have slight corneal edema. She gave me some saline ointment to use, but is there anything else that might help this condition? Also, I'm looking into bifocals as one option. What is your opinion of the HD freeform technology?
Regarding the corneal edema, edema means it's like you get edema on your fingers when you get them in water.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what they're doing with the drop sets. I don't quite understand what's happening there, so I'll avoid that one.
Okay.
Regarding the lenses, especially a first-time wearer, I can strongly recommend progressive lenses rather than a bifocal. Now, many times people call bifocals bifocals, but a bifocal really is two different distinct areas. There's a distance area on the top, and there's usually a little window on the bottom for reading. And the problem with those is there's many things that don't fit either one of those distances. Now, this person, 58, probably has a need for an intermediate help as well. And what they're going to find if they got a pair of bifocals, they would, arm's length, the top part wouldn't be right and the reading part wouldn't be right. So a good progressive lens, and there's a number of different ones. The one that he mentioned, the HD, that is a particular brand,
mm-hmm.
and there's a number of very good brands out there. Years ago, there was some really bad ones out there. Well, I guess some of those are still around, but the majority of the name brand ones today will do an excellent job if they're fit well and worn properly.
And I got to tell Jim in Hudson that what he should do is go online and see if he can find Bill Cosby's little shtick that he did when he got bifocals, the telling the story of. Did you hear that one?
I've seen it. Yes.
You've seen it?
I think it's on YouTube, and it is really funny.
It is hilarious. And Judith will look it up. Maybe we'll put it. We'll get it off. We'll get it off YouTube, and we'll post it on my Facebook page here. It is hilarious, but it points out exactly what you were talking about.
Yes.
There's a point there where things just don't quite work as well as they could or should.
Well, a conventional bifocal was invented by Ben Franklin in the 1700s, and the modern bifocal, not the progressive, but the modern bifocal is not much different than the lens that he made back then. you can get, you know, technology from the 2000s or the 1700s, depending on what you want.
Tammy in Waupaca, on to you now. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. My question today is about anti-fatigue lenses. I've never had glasses before, and I went to an eye doctor because things were getting blurry and fuzzy at a distance.
Yep.
And he told me that I need anti-fatigue lenses, and they're about $450 or so. So I'm just wondering a little bit more about those.
I have to be very honest. I don't know what that means, anti-fatigue. There's anti-scratch, there's anti-reflection, there's anti-smudge, but I've never heard of anti-fatigue.
Well, what he said was my 20/20s, or my vision for a distance is 20/20, but close up I need a little bit of aid. So at the bottom of the lens, he puts in a tiny prescription of 0.63.
Okay. Okay, well, you answered it very well, and I know what you're talking about now. I didn't know it under that terms. How old are you?
40.
Okay, that's when you get about 40.
Presbyopia sets in?
Presbyopia sets in. And presbyopia is caused because the lens of your eye is no longer as flexible as it used to be, and you're not able to accommodate for near reading as well. And so, in effect, what this pair of glasses is that he is suggesting is a pair of bifocals. And it's probably a progressive lens, but it has a very, very low add power or reading power in it. That's about a 0.63 is about as low as you can possibly get. I think 0.75 or 1.0 diopters of power in the reading is about as low as these lenses are made. And I do know that a number of people, even in their 30s, find that these are more comfortable to wear, and it's I call them training glasses.
Yeah.
As you get older, that number is going to get bigger and bigger. And when you're my age, it's 2.75 or 3.0. If he thinks it might help, there's a possibility that it might. But remember, that's basically a bifocal lens or a progressive lens with a very, very low amount of power in the reading area, just enough maybe to make it more comfortable for you to read.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Tammy. Sherry in Middleton, on to you now. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. My question is about wearing glasses and using binoculars, because I'm a bird watcher, and I'm in my mid-60s. I do wear glasses. I have most of my life. And my problem is that I'm constantly switching it. I see better if I spot the bird with my glasses and then take the glasses off and use the binoculars without the glasses, because I actually see better that way. Do you have any but that's awkward.
Yeah, it is awkward.
Well, I have the same exact situation.
Me too.
And I do pretty much what you do as well. One of the things that most people, if they're going to wear their glasses when they look through a pair of binoculars, they look through the upper part, which is for the distance part. And if you have an astigmatism, then you will be corrected for that astigmatism. If you take your glass, if you don't have astigmatism, and you take your glasses off and look through that, you can adjust the binoculars to give you very, very accurate prescription. And then you have accurate power, you know, in sharp focus. And then you don't have that extra surface of a pair of eyeglasses to look through. So I think you're doing what a lot of people do that don't have a lot of astigmatism, or if you don't have a big difference between one eye and the other. Now, again, some binoculars allow you to make an adjustment between one lens and the other, and so you can fine-tune your binoculars, and unless you have a lot of astigmatism, you can get very, very good vision with it. The only other thing that I could suggest is if you really wanted to wear your glasses or felt that you had to, if you have an anti-reflection coating on your eyeglass lenses, that will make them less noticeable in the system. A pair of binoculars, all of the lenses in that binocular system have an anti-reflection coating on them. And then if you don't have that on your eyeglass lenses, you're getting reflections that confuse the eye. So that's the best advice I have for you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Angie in Lake Geneva, on to you. Hi, Angie.
Hi, I just have a question about, I'm 35, and I've had glasses since I was 9 years old, and over the last few years, I've developed an astigmatism in my left eye. I drive for a living. I'm in my car most of the day, and I've noticed that at night, especially, you know, if it's dark and raining, I have a very difficult time seeing. My eye doctor finally agreed to correct the astigmatism with a toric lens when I wear my contacts, but I'm having a really hard time still adjusting to that lens. They're not nearly as comfortable as the other lenses. So is this something where I'm just going to have to wear my glasses that night?
Is this the contact lens? You have a toric lens for the astigmatism in the one eye, and
yes.
Then the other eye is a spherical lens, and you're not comfortable with that. It does work with your prescription eyeglasses, though? Is that what you're saying?
Right. When I wear my glasses, I see much better at night, especially.
Sure.
Okay. But, again, the toric lens itself just is not...
Toric lenses, if somebody has enough astigmatism to require a toric lenses... sometimes they're a miracle. They work wonderful for people, and they can really clear up their vision. Other people, the problem with the lens is that it not only does the doctor have to do everything exactly correct, the lens, when it's put on the eye, has to be rotated to the right position.
Okay.
And when you blink, of course, you're going to change that rotation a little bit. And if you think about it, if you had the lens in your eyeglasses, and every time you blink, somebody rotated that lens a little bit, you can imagine the problem that you would have. And so they not only do they have to be fit exactly right and have to get the right prescription in it and everything, but every time you blink, you're messing with it a little bit. And sometimes it just doesn't work very well. So I don't know if that's a good answer for you, but you might be able, you know, if you tell the doctor that, he might be able to try a different lens or a different curve. Sometimes how tightly they fit on the eye could minimize the amount of moving that takes place. So there are some things he could do if he knows the problem. But if he's tried everything, then eyeglasses might be your solution.
Okay, yeah, I've been through it. Just about every lens she has.
Okay, well, she's trying anyway, so.
Okay.
All right.
One other last thing. When you're driving at night, if you're bothered by lights and reflection, I mentioned AR coating or anti-reflection coatings before, but anti-reflection coatings really make a big difference for people driving at night, and I would encourage everybody to at least think about it seriously.
Yeah, when I drive at night, if I know for sure that I'm going to be driving at night, I always bring my glasses so I can take my contact lenses out.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Much better.
Good luck.
All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, especially with the new lights that the cars have these days. It's just so bright.
Yes, and it's unusual color, and it's kind of disturbing to the eye.
Bonnie in Lone Rock, on to you now. Hi, Bonnie.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I have a question about monovision for reading. I've had a monovision lens for about 10 years. I'm 66 years old, and the strength is 2.75. How high of a power can you go with monovision without scrambling your brain?
Yeah.
Do you feel like your brain is scrambled?
No, actually, the last time through, my eye doctor said, well, you know, if you want to go to anything else, it won't be monovision. You'll have to get glasses. And I'm having no problem, you know.
Well,
I'd like to try going up one more strength because I'm really used to these, and I'm very active with exercise, and glasses keep flying off.
Well, let me give the rest of the listeners a quick explanation of what this is. When people, we talked about presbyopia, when you get to a certain age, you need to be able to see in the distance. And some people are able to wear one contact lens, which is for reading. The prescription is for reading, and the other eye is for distance. And they wear that, and what the mind does is it turns off the vision from the one eye for the distance, and you just look through the one that's corrected for distance, and when you do reading, it turns off the other one, and you do the reading. Now, most people can only do that when they have a relatively low number. Now, the Bonnie's is very, very high. It's unusual. But and it does work, and I've got friends and people I've known that swear by this. I myself have tried it, and I just could not accommodate it one bit. When I read, I want to be able to read with both eyes. When I want to see in the distance, I want to be able to see with both eyes. But some people are very happy with it, but it is a compromise. And you also don't have that intermediate vision that we talked about with progressives before, because neither eye is corrected for that intermediate. So I think the caller is very lucky if that's what she wants. And it certainly be, you know, if she's willing to try the next step and the doctor's willing to do it, why not? But it'd be very unusual if she was able to accept that.
I don't have a corrective lens in for distance at all.
Oh, so you just have in one eye?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's the same concept. It's exactly the same concept. If you did, you know, many people would put one for distance in one eye and one for reading in the other.
Uh-huh.
And in your case, you just don't need one in one eye because you've got good distance correction for that. But everything else is exactly the same. It's just a matter that you lucked out with one, and you get your contacts for half price, right?
Yeah.
could this be like a trial and error? Just get a
if he's willing to give you one with more power in there, and you try it, and if it works, good
enough.
You know,
yeah, good enough. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Mike in South Milwaukee. Your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm 64 years old, and for most of my life, I was nearsighted. Needed prescriptions. My vision was like 2100 in each eye. But then with presbyopia, now I have one nearsighted eye, one farsighted eye, and I can get by 99% of the time without glasses. I sometimes use magnifiers to read the newspaper, and I have a prescription that I use when I go to Badger games because I sit up far in the stands. Is my situation unusual, number one? And number two, is there any kind of would radio keratotomy would have any role for a person like me?
Basically, you have mono, correct, like the lady that spoke before, where she had a contact lens for one for reading and then the other one, she didn't need one. Basically, you've got that built in. And I see a number of people that have that where one eye is more for reading and one eye is more for distance. And the mind has found a way to put those two together, and they get by, and they say, I don't need glasses. You find when you want to read, you know, getting both eyes working usually is helpful. And like you say, when you want to watch something in the distance, you want a pair of glasses to accommodate that. The laser surgery on the eye could make one or the other eye the same. And so you would have either distance vision for both eyes or reading for both eyes, but you would still need to wear glasses to fix the other one. So if you decided to make your eyes perfect for distance, assuming everything worked right, then you would have to wear glasses all the time for reading because you would have no accommodation to make that up. So reading would require some glasses to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have Sue posted on our Facebook page, for the person with binoculars and glasses, she should know that certain kinds of binoculars are designed to work well with glasses on. It's a question of eye relief. A binocular store can help explain this. Certainly a place like Eagle Optics or Wild Birds Unlimited would be people there that could explain it. Also, Nikon is a good brand for use with eyeglasses.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, excellent point. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 with your question as we talk eyewear. And Terry in South Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, thank you very much for calling.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I have keratoconus, and I'm wondering what my options are. I currently have contact lenses, but even at that, I'm only getting to about 20/80. Is there some place I should go, some hospital somewhere, or someone that can help me try to help me with this problem?
Keratoconus, for those that aren't aware of it, is usually manifested as a small bulge on the cornea itself. And not only does it bulge out, normally the cornea is fairly close to spherical across the surface. And if it bulges out a little bit, of course, that seriously damages the ability to see and makes objects very difficult. And a pair of glasses can't do much for that. Contact lenses will fit over that to a certain extent, press that down to smooth that out, and generally people's vision is greatly improved, sometimes as good as 20/20, but not always. To my knowledge, contact lenses are still the standard protocol for that. I don't know of anybody that's doing any other kind of procedure for that, but there may be. But I can't really help you more than tell you that you're doing what most people end up doing.
Oh, there you go. Thanks, Terry. Greg in Door County, on to you. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I have a question, or maybe you can talk a little bit about the benefits and the drawbacks of buying prescription glasses over the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I buy a lot of stuff over the Internet, and I think it's a good method a lot of times. But per prescription eyeglasses, not only do you need the prescription that the doctor has, but there are other measurements that need to be taken by the dispenser. And the dispenser can't take those measurements until they actually, you know, you pick out the pair of glasses, they put it on, they have to adjust that, you know, even the sample needs to be adjusted to your face first to see how it fits. And then they have to measure the distance between your pupils when you're in the distance between your pupils when you're reading. They have to look at how, if it's a pair of bifocals or progressives, you've got to see where your eyes look through that lens. And I just don't know how that can be done successfully over the Internet. I do know that some people do it. Some people are happy with it. But it's one of those things. It's kind of like if you got over the Internet dental care and they sent you a pick and a drill and told you that, you know, I mean, it seems like you need a professional in there that can actually see you and help you with those things.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jim, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. I hope you'll do this again with us.
I would love to, Larry, and it's good talking to you again.
Yeah, great talking to you. Jim LaLuzerne, 45 years in the optics business, an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, our guest, and we will have him back and we'll do this again. And we're going to stay in the area of our bodies and how they work, but we're going to turn our attention now to people living with cancer. Lori Hope is an author, a documentary filmmaker, an advocate for cancer survivors, and she draws on her own experiences and those of other survivors for her book, Help Me Live, 20 Things People with Cancer Want You to Know. She'll be in Wisconsin soon for two lung cancer awareness events, and we'll talk with her coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.